According to ESPN, unbeaten American heavyweight contender Jared Anderson returns to action on July 1st in his hometown of Toledo, Ohio, against unbeaten Kazakh southpaw Zhan Kosobotsky. Kosobotsky is ranked number 8 by the WBC, and Anderson is ranked number 11, so this fight would give Anderson the opportunity to climb up a couple places on the WBC ladder. If we have a look at Kosobotsky's record here, as you can see, he's 19-0, 18 KOs, 34 years of age, 6'3" tall, weighs between 235 and 240, so a medium-sized heavyweight by today's standards. And his record contains names like Johan Duopa, who we beat last year, stopped him in 5 rounds, Joey DeWaco, Kamil Sokolovsky, Osborne Machinima, who beat Corey Sanders back in the days, and the rest of them are miscellaneous journeymen. Obviously, the guys I just mentioned, or at least some of them, the journeyman too, but they're more well-known. Anderson, of course, is 14-0, 14 KOs, 23 years of age, 6'4" tall, weighs between 240 and 250. So these are very similar size heavyweights. There is footage of Kosobotsky online. You can see his fight here against Johan Duopa. He has kind of a disjointed, offbeat style. Not quite Joe Joyce, but there isn't a lot of rhythm there. And sometimes that can work to your advantage. It can make a fighter more difficult to read. Kosobotsky can bang, particularly with the left hand. He mixes it up, head and body. He is quite one-paced though. Seems to fight in the one gear. But of course, so far that's been enough. Will he be able to withstand the work rate of Jared Anderson? Because Anderson isn't just a big puncher. He isn't just fast. He isn't just athletic and fluid with good balance and so on. He's also got tremendous fitness. He throws an awful lot of punches. And so for a guy who is as one-paced and methodical as Kosobotsky, that could be a problem. I think he's going to need to hit Jared Anderson with something early to get his respect, something which none of Anderson's opponents so far have been able to do. Just going back to Kosobotsky's record here, he did have an extensive amateur career, but as far as I can tell, he was not one of the elite fighters in the unpaid ranks. He turned pro 6 years ago, back in 2017, and as I say, he's 34 years of age. He's had most of his fights in Germany, which isn't the boxing powerhouse that it used to be. So he's been fighting in obscurity, basically. He needs to get a move on, and therefore he's decided to take this chance against Jared Anderson. I mentioned in a recent video about Anderson that Kosobotsky is one of the contenders that might actually fight him. The more well-known guys are going to want a king's ransom, because Anderson is extremely talented. So this is really a ranking fight for Jared Anderson. What do you guys think about it? Can Kosobotsky be a potential banana skin here? Will he pose Anderson any problems? Will Anderson overlook him? Or will it be relatively straightforward? Anderson is almost certainly going to have to maneuver himself into a mandatory position in order to get a title shot. In fact, it's probably going to be quite difficult to even get him a final eliminator because the contenders are queuing up. There's a backlog of people trying to get a title shot and they don't want to compromise their position, most of them. Anderson is also ranked number 7 by the WBO. So that's another route he could go if he wanted to. Ranked number 11 as well by the WBA. Presumably, Anderson would have tried to get some of the names above him in the WBO rankings, such as Joseph Parker, Joe Joyce, Wilder, Sanchez, Joshua Ruiz. But I can't imagine any of those guys would have been interested for the money currently being offered to face Anderson. How much is Bob Arum, Anderson's promoter, willing to invest? Sometimes you got to take a financial loss on a fighter in order to get him the right fights to move him up into a position for a title shot. In the WBA rankings, I reckon Jarrell Miller might fight Anderson. He's ranked a couple places above him at number 9. But Anderson has spoken about not being too interested in fighting Jarrell Miller for the right to be called Big Baby because they both use that moniker. Anderson basically said that Miller is undeserving of a fight against him at this stage due to his past PED use. Also above Anderson in the WBA rankings is Jonathan Guidry. I think that's a fight Anderson might be able to get. Luis Ortiz, possibly Arslan Bekmambetov, although I'm not sure he'd take it. He is ranked quite high in 2 of the sanctioned bodies now. Lenia Pero, the Cuban heavyweight. Basically, the further you go up the rankings, the less likely they are to fight Jared Anderson because the money they're going to want will be unrealistic. In the WBC, as I say, he's going to fight Kosobotsky, apparently, who's number 8. Can't see Bacoli fighting him. Can't see Dillon White fighting him. I'd be surprised if Frank Sanchez was willing to compromise his position at number 4. Anyway, let me know what you guys think about all this in the comment section below. Jared Anderson versus Zhan Kosobotsky in Anderson's hometown of Toledo, Ohio on July 1st. How's this fight going to go? Alex Krasuk, the promoter of Oleksandr Usyk, says that he's exploring the possibility of having the Usyk-Dubois fight in Poland. He says he's been speaking to Knockout Promotions, who are the outfit that just put on the Babich-Rozanski fight this past weekend. As ever, promoters will look to stage a fight in the location that pays their fighter the most money. Daniel Dubois is not a particularly big name in the UK. He's not going to sell that many tickets, and obviously, Usyk is a foreign fighter on British soil. Would the fight be more lucrative in Poland? I guess we'll find out. In addition to that, I said in a previous video that if I were Oleksandr Usyk or Alex Krasuk, I would never want to work with Frank Warren ever again. Not only did Fury mess them around for all this time, but Team Fury then came out and tried to smear Team Usyk in the press and make out as though it was their fault that the fight didn't happen, which is obviously ridiculous. So looking to stage the Usyk-Dubois fight overseas, in neutral territory, I'd prefer it to be that way, to be honest with you. Team Usyk and Team Dubois are still in the negotiation phase, as far as I'm aware. If they can't reach a deal, then it'll go to Perspids. And perhaps that's another reason why Krasuk has been out in Poland, or at least speaking to Knockout Promotions, the leading fight promoter in Poland. Maybe he's trying to draw their interest. So if it does go to a Perspid, Queensbury won't necessarily win it. Alex Krasuk is a promoter himself, but it seems in name only. Because what shows does Krasuk put on these days? Where's he going to get the money from to bid himself? He's going to need a Knockout Promotions or some other promotional entity that does put on shows, that does have money to compete against Frank Warren in a purse bid scenario. So let me know what you guys think about this in the comment section below. The possibility of Usyk Dubois going to Poland. Personally, I like it. Polish boxing fans are some of the most enthusiastic in the world. They love the sport out there. And although Usyk is a foreigner, I'm sure he still has his fair share of supporters in that country. And he is the champ at the end of the day. He's the guy with three belts. He's the guy who beat AJ twice. He's the guy who's done big pay-per-views. Should he really keep on having to go into other people's backyards? Perhaps he doesn't mind it in most cases. But in this particular instance, a fight on neutral territory in Poland is the least he can ask for. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. According to Boxing Scene, the Gervonta Davis-Ryan Garcia fight did over 1.2 million pay-per-view buys in the United States. Bear in mind, Boxing Scene is owned by Paramount Global, who also own Showtime. And Showtime are one of the networks that aired the fight, along with DAZN. If these figures are accurate, it means that this is the best performing pay-per-view event in boxing since Mayweather-McGregor back in 2017. This is fantastic news for the sport in the United States, which has been struggling to compete with MMA, particularly UFC, in recent years. I've seen a lot of people saying that Tank Davis is now a bigger star than Canelo Alvarez because of these numbers. Well, I wouldn't go that far quite yet, because Ryan Garcia also has a big following. Tank Davis had a good dance partner from a commercial perspective. Can Tank Davis do Canelo Alvarez level numbers against a less well-known opponent? That's the question. Whatever the case may be, it's obviously a step in the right direction and great news for Tank Davis and the sport as a whole in the United States. In other territories, boxing has been doing well, in the UK and so on, but in America, it's been suffering for a long time. However, a cautionary note, will this make Tank Davis more difficult to deal with in future because he's such a big A-side? For example, how would they negotiate a fight between Davis and Devin Haney? Devin Haney is the undisputed champion at lightweight, but Tank Davis is a much bigger star. Will it be another Tyson Fury, Oleksandr Usyk type situation? Hopefully not. Devin Haney compromised an awful lot to get that fight against George Kambosos. Went to Kambosos' backyard twice and beat him. Now that he's reached this position, would he still be willing to compromise and be not just the B-side, but potentially take what, 30% against Tank Davis? Again, I hope it doesn't come to that. But when you look at who's advising Tank Davis, the likes of Floyd Mayweather, Leonard Ellerby, and I know he's not with them anymore in an official capacity, but they were still at the fight, right? Against Ryan Garcia. They're still in Tank's ear, apparently. Will Tank start making diva-ish demands at the negotiating table with someone like a Devin Haney? Or even a Shakur Stevenson? Stevenson isn't the kind of star that Tank Davis is. So anyway, let me know what you guys think about all this in the comment section below. Reportedly 1.2 million pay-per-view buys for Davis Garcia. They also apparently generated over $22 million, nearly $23 million in ticket sales. Let me know what you guys think about it.